Oh, all right. I don't know who schedules Varney, but we should probably take him off the rotation. He's getting a little prideful. He's going away from the script a lot. So I'm sorry. I apologize for him. I'm just kidding. We love him. We love the dynamic duo of Varney and Megan. Those guys are amazing. And he caught himself because at the end there he said we only talk about Jesus, but that's the most important thing, right? And then they talk about Jesus in the kids' ministry as well. We want you to know that. They're not just in there playing video games and watching movies. That'd be easier, but we're not going to do that. We share Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We get it to them on their level. Well, good morning. How you guys feeling today? It's nice and chilly out this morning. I am wearing, like, layers, and I'm hot. But I'm just, you know, you got to sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like, because we don't get many opportunities to wear layers in Florida. So I'm glad that you're here. I hope, man, that you are ready for the word today. We've been going through this series in 1 John, and it's been such a good series so far. This is week 3. If you've been joining us on the Bible plan, we've been doing different Bible plans each week. How many of you guys are on the Bible plan with me? I know there's some of you. It's been phenomenal. I'm loving. What's really cool about the Bible plan is you can comment and share what God is speaking to you through the Word. And so I'm loving that you guys are doing that and sharing with us as we learn and grow who we are becoming in Christ. And through this, what we're doing is we are remaining in Him. And so thank you guys for joining me. I want to welcome our online, visitors and our online church, you guys that are with us right now. Thank you guys so much for being here. We're so glad that we can worship with you in this way, even though you can't be here with us physically. Now, let me really quickly recap. You know, this series we're in is called This is the Way, and every week I've kind of shared a statement that says this is the way. The first week I said, you know, we went through 1 John chapter 1, and we kind of went through the first few verses, and what we saw there is that what we have seen and what we have heard and what we have experienced in Jesus, we are called to then declare it, right? There's this amazing promise that we are given through Jesus and in Jesus' life. And so once we've seen and heard and experienced that, we're not just meant to keep it to ourselves. We're called to go out there and declare it and testify it and share it with others. So what we've experienced, we must declare this is the way. And then last week, we talked about remaining in Him and remaining in His Word. In order to, man, continue to be followers, we got to stay true to who God is calling us to be. So we remain in Him, we remain in His Word, and this is the way. And so we're going to keep looking through each of these "this is how" statements that I pulled out from 1 John that we've turned into "this is the way" statements, and then we're looking at these themes. And I said there are these very, very specific themes that John shares in 1 John. Also, in the Gospel of John, he shared these specific themes. We've already talked about two, and today I want to talk about this theme of light and dark. This is verbiage that John uses quite a bit. Walking in light and not in darkness. And so you see this in the Gospel of John, and you see this in 1 John, all throughout 1 John, and then you see it a little bit as well in the second and third letters. Now let me share with you, it'll be on the screen. 1 John chapter 1, and it's going to be 5 through 10, and we'll go ahead and we'll read that. You can pull it up on your, if you have your Bible, you can pull it up on your phone, but we will have it on the screen for you guys. Here we go. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. It says, "Now this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in Him. If we say we have fellowship with Him, yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." And so, from this is kind of John's, you know, this bold, God is light. And because God is light, there's no darkness. And so, if you're a follower of Jesus, you should be living in the light, and there should not be darkness within you. And so, he gives us this very stark contrast between the two. I think it was 2 weeks ago, me and my family some of my family, not all of them, watched this new movie, Love and Monsters. Anyone seen the new movie, Love and Monsters, that came out? No? Wow. It's phenomenal. Anyway, so, you know, there, these monsters come, there's this big thing, and they're living underground and all that stuff. I'm not going to give you the whole movie, but anyway, there's this, the main character's name is Joel. He's living underground, and he ends up wanting to leave to travel 80 miles to go visit this girl that he loves. And so he gets up to the surface, and he's just not prepared at all, and he runs into two people that are living on the surface, and they share with him a few lessons on how to survive the surface. And one of the lessons stood out to me, and it was lesson number two, and it was simply this, is that it's called not both. Not both. That's the lesson. Lesson number two is not both. And so they're there, and they're eating, and they have a fire going, and they're eating a hot meal. And after the hot meal, Joel gets ready to go to sleep, and the other guy kicks out the fire, claps his hands, and yells, "Let's go." And he says, you can have a hot meal, or you can rest for the night, but you can't have both. And throughout the movie, this was one of the hardest lessons for him to learn. Is this not both lesson, a hot meal. He wanted a hot meal and to be able to rest, but he couldn't have both. And, you know, as I think about this and what John is saying, it's like we can't live in the light and also live in the darkness. It's either one or the other. So let me show you what this looks like. So, like right now, and I've dimmed the light so that I can help you understand. I can't remain in the light and also live in the darkness. It's one or the other. It's not both. And maybe because some of the ambient lighting that you see, you could see me. Go back to that light setting really quick. So, you know, you can kind of see me because there's other lighting. But if we are in complete darkness, the only light that you're going to be able to see me in is this light. And the light puts off some more light, and so if you're a little bit close to it, but you're not living in it, and so I can't live in the darkness and try to live in the light. And that's what John is trying to say to us, is you can't walk in light and walk in sin. It's either you live in the light or you live in sin, not both. You can't live in pride and also in humility. It can't be both. You can choose to walk in kindness or to be hurtful, but you can't do both. And this is what John's talking about. And, you know, it's so funny as I'm sitting here thinking about this light and the light that it gives off and about some of the things I'm going to share with you today is that sometimes, and this is one of my main things, is that walking in the darkness and living in sin, it sometimes gets a little bit blurry about what is darkness and what is light. And sometimes we like to live like this, right? I want to say certain things about who I am in Jesus, but I want to keep living in the darkness because there are things there that I like. There are things there that are easier. And so today, you can go back to the other light setting. Today, I want to talk about this, how, you know, when we choose to walk in the light, we're choosing goodness and we're choosing humility and we're choosing kindness. When we do that, when we're walking in the light, and this goes back to the first week about how we declare it, other people get to experience the light that we have found in Jesus. And that's what I want to focus on today. We're going to look at, you know, 1 John 3, 6 through 10, walking in the light and not sin. But I want to pray, and then we'll dive into the Word. God, thank you today for bringing us together. Thank you for what you've shown me this week through your Word, through your Spirit, and even through your people as we've studied your Word and remained in you. God, today, allow the words that you gave John to speak to our heart and to our soul and to our spirit. God, help us to draw some very distinct lines between what walking in the light and walking in darkness looks like. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right, so let's jump into what we're going to focus on today. It's 1 John chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 6 through 10, and I'm going to kind of break some of that apart and share what John is talking about here. So let's go. Verse 6 of 1 John chapter 3. It simply says this, and I want to share about the translation. I am reading from the Holman's Christian Standard version, and so I wanted you guys to know that. So it says this, and your version may differ, and I want to talk about why that's important in just a minute. It says, "Everyone who remains in him does not sin. I want to stop there. And I think there may be a small number of people that believe that that because of what they claim about who they are in Jesus, they no longer sin ever again. And that is not what this is saying. Even though you have given your life to Jesus and you're doing your best to live for Jesus, that doesn't mean that you're going to stop sinning altogether. And so really, if you look at other translations and you put them together and you begin to compare them, what he is saying is that it doesn't mean that if we walk in the light, we won't sin. What it means is if we walk in the light, we won't keep living in sin. When sin happens, we will be repentant of it. We won't keep living in it. We're going to turn our back on living in sin and living in darkness, and we're going to keep striving after God and living in the light. So, like, this is the difference between, like, if it's really dark out and there's a power outage and you have loss of light, when that takes place, you are going to work with everything within your power to figure out how to get the light back on, okay? And so you may have been a cause of the power outage or something else may have happened, but you're going to work to get it back. The difference is when someone else who's living in darkness and there's a power outage, they don't do anything to get the power back on, to get the light back on. They just keep sitting in or living in their darkness. So John says here in verse 6, everyone who remains in him does not sin or does not keep living in sin or keep practicing sin. And he says, everyone who sins, keeps on sinning, has not known him or seen him. So everyone who keeps on sinning or lives in sin or practices sin has not seen him or known him. And then he goes on in verse 7. And I love how he starts it out. He says, little children. Who remembers what that means from last week? Who are the little children? Who is it? Us. We are. It's everybody. It's the believers. Little children. Let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who commits sin, keeps sinning, is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. Everyone who has been born of God does not sin, does not keep sinning, because his seed remains in him. He is not able to sin because he has been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children are made evident. This is the difference. You're either living in and walking in, or doing everything in your power to stay in the light, versus those who are living in and walking in and not even caring about the light and turning their back on the light and living in darkness. I was reading through a commentary from John MacArthur, and he said this. He said, if no check against habitual sin exists in someone who professes to be a Christian, John's pronouncement in this book is absolutely clear. Salvation never took place. And that's a hard thing to come to grips with, right? So I want to read all of that to you from a different translation to help give it a little bit more weight. This is the Amplified version. Verse John chapter 3, verses 6 through 9 says this: no one who abides in him, who remains united in fellowship with him, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. No one who habitually practices sin has seen him or known him. Little children, believers, dear ones, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who practices righteousness, the one who strives to live a consistently honorable life in private as well as in public and to conform to God's precepts is righteous just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin, separating himself from God and offending him by acts of disobedience, indifference, or rebellion, is of the devil and takes his inner character and moral values from him, not God. For the devil has sinned and violated God's law from the beginning. But the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin, because God's seed, his principle of life, the essence of his righteous character, remains permanently in him who is born again, who is born from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose. And he who is born again cannot habitually live in a life characterized by sin, because he is born of God and longs to please him. Verse 10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are clearly identified. Anyone who does not practice righteousness, who does not seek God's will in thought, action, and purpose, is not of God, nor is the one who does not unselfishly love his believing brother. I love how the Amplified Bible amplifies what's being said here. And so John and the Bible is clear. He says here, live in the light. Practice righteousness. Remain in him. Don't live in sin. And here's where the problem comes for you and I. Oftentimes, in our culture, the lines between what sin is and what sin isn't gets a little blurry, right? We begin to ask the question, well, is that really a sin? How much of something do I have to do for it to be a sin? Is it actually a habitual sin, one word that I'm practicing and doing all the time, or is it just an occasional sin? We come to this question and we say, well, what constitutes a sin in our culture? We ask this question, what can I get away with before it becomes a sin? And so really this comes, the lines between what is sin and what's not, it comes from how culture tolerates, justifies, dismisses, and accepts sin, that the Bible clearly says, hey, this isn't right, this is unrighteousness, and you should not be living this way. And so let me just give you a few examples of this. We would all agree that child trafficking and sex trafficking is bad. Yes, it's bad. But let's not do anything about pornography. We don't want to come against that. Because, you know, it's not that bad. It's not affecting me that much. But meanwhile, we have child trafficking and sex trafficking now funding pornography. Well, yeah, we don't want, if that's happening, I want to stop that. But let me keep doing this over here. That's okay. We would all agree that driving while under the influence is bad. It leads to death, it leads to loss, it leads to regret, it leads to shame. But let's not stop getting socially drunk or going out and drinking and getting drunk, because, you know, the person who's drinking, they can decide whether or not they're drunk enough to go home. I don't think they're the best judge of that, right? But let's just keep doing that. We would all agree that children living in broken homes, maybe without a father, without a mother, that's bad. But let's just keep encouraging sex outside of marriage. Yep. Let's keep on encouraging the, you know what, I don't want to get married because it may end in divorce. Let's keep encouraging this act of, I want to play house, I don't want to actually commit to being a family. We believe that children broken homes are bad, but we still want to do that. You and I would say that any harm that would come to a child is bad. But then on the flip side, people keep saying, well, let's just keep abortion legal. You see, we like to try to draw these lines between what is sin and what isn't. Let's talk about the words that we use, right? Saying certain words, especially for Christians, that's bad. You can't say certain words. Like, I could spout off a few right now, and all y'all be like, oh my God, I gotta go. And he just said that, right? But then we can go home and yell and belittle and demean our kids and our spouse. Oh, we don't use the F-bomb, so it's okay. Or maybe we do, who knows? Right? It's not just about specific words that come out of our mouth. It's about the words and the meaning and the weight that they carry. Everyone loves to complain or say that Christians in the church are judging other people. We'll even do it. Right? Well, they're hypocrites. And meanwhile, oftentimes in our righteous religiousness, we puff ourselves up and we put ourselves on this pedestal and say, man, look at their sin and how bad it is. Our sin isn't that bad, so let's just judge them. We like to draw these lines on what is sin is and what is not. How far can I go? That's what I want to know. That's what we look for, right? How far can I go before it actually becomes sin or before someone notices that it's a sin. Oh, and then if someone calls me out on that sin, guess what? I'm going to leave that church and go to another one where they accept me and my sin. And I've been in ministry for a long time, and I've seen that time and time again, where the biblical act of holding another brother or sister in Christ accountable to their sin takes place. And because we lovingly and gently came against the sin that they were ensnared in, they didn't like it, and they left. And they went somewhere else where another church and other people would either accept it or they could keep it under wraps for a little bit longer until they moved on to the next church. Listen, in order to walk in the light, we as believers have got to have a clearer understanding of what is sin in darkness. Here's what I know. We cannot live in the light without Jesus, and we cannot stay out of the darkness without a clear biblical, I want to really make sure, a clear biblical understanding of what sin is. And let me just tell you this. You should not be going to the Bible to prove that your sin is okay. I can't tell you how many times people will be like, well, I went here and I read this one verse. I didn't read it in context, but this one verse said that this is, I'm good. It'll be all right. No, we shouldn't go to the Bible to prove whether or not our sin is okay. We should go to the Bible to figure out how we can learn to live in the light even more. That's what we're looking for, to live in righteousness. And so this blurriness between what is sin and what isn't, this isn't new. The enemy's been doing this since the beginning. It's one of his best tactics, y'all. Here's the reality. If the enemy can't keep you in the dark, right? Like you found church, you found Jesus, you heard about salvation, and you are going towards that light. If he can't keep you in the dark, you want to know what he's going to do? He'll try to keep you in the dark about what constitutes sin. And if he can get you in the dark about what constitutes sin, he can begin to pull you away from living in the light. What did he do? You go all the way back to the garden. God said to Adam and Eve, hey, all of this is yours. Don't eat from that tree. That's it. And so Satan comes in, and he traps Eve, right? Hey, did God really say that? And Eve said, well, yeah, no, we can eat, but, you know, if we eat from this one, if we touch it, we'll die. And what does he say? Oh, you won't die. He begins to twist and pervert and bend the truth. No, 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 no. As a matter of fact, if you do this, your eyes will be open. And then he shares the infamous line, you will be like God. What's he saying? You'll be in control. You'll have everything you need. No, this is good. And what's so interesting is right after that, you know what? After Eve got lied to and the enemy bended and twisted and perverted the truth, she looked at the fruit and it was delightful and desirable. And is that not what sin is? Right? He twists it. He perverts it. No, this will be fine. It'll be okay. You know what? This will be freeing for you. Look how delightful and desirable it is. He's been doing this since the beginning. And this is the problem, right? Like Adam and Eve and even us, man, like we're doing good and we're living in the light and God is working. But then the enemy comes in and begins to bend and twist the truth about what is good and what isn't, about what is sin and what isn't, about what God knows what's best for us and what isn't. And oftentimes it's in justifying or rationalizing of known sin that we begin to habitually live in sin. And that's where he gets us. Little by little, he pulls us away from the light. And before we know it, we're no longer living in the light. We're living in darkness. Or maybe we didn't even try to stop him. It's no secret that the enemy has covered and twisted and bent the truth about sin in our world because our world is drowning in it. When you think about it, the majority of our world is living in darkness, and many of them claim to be Jesus followers. And it's tough. because you see other Christians, and I'm not trying to be judgmental here, but you see others and they claim to love God and live for God, but there they are living in darkness, and it's one of those things like it can't be both, because God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all, and sin is what separates us from him. And so you can pretend all you want that that is fine, but all the while you're living in darkness. Let me, in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, he talks about this a little bit more. And so I want to read to you John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. It says, "This is the judgment." This is the Amplified Version. "This is the judgment, that is, the cause for indictment, the test by which people are judged, the basis for the sentence. The light," we know who that is, that's you, "the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For every wrongdoer hates the light and does not come to the light, but shrinks from it for fear that his sinful, worthless activities will be exposed and condemned. But whoever practices truth and does what is right, morally, ethically, spiritually, they come to the light so that his works may be plainly shown by what they are, accomplished in, divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence on him." And that's the thing. We live in a world that loves to live in the darkness, that loves to live in their sin. But we cannot claim to live in the light and continue to live in the darkness. And so this is why it's imperative for you and I, like what I said, that we remain in him, that we remain in his word, that we keep his commands, so that when the enemy comes to tempt us, we know what is true and what is not true about sin. And it's not truth. This is so key. This is not truth based on cultural or societal acceptance, but truth based on God's word. And that's what we know, and that's what we live by. And then once we know it, we can begin to combat the enemy's lies and begin to live in light and righteousness. And this is what Jesus modeled. You know, Satan tried this on Jesus in the wilderness. You remember this? He tried to pull the same trick. "Well, you know, Jesus, just go ahead and eat this bread. It'll be fine." But Jesus, every single time, you know what he came back with? The word. You know what he came back with? The truth. God's truth. It wasn't what Satan was telling him. It wasn't what the world was telling him. It wasn't what culture around him was telling him. He went to God's word. He knew God's word. And he didn't stray from it. John says, "Remain in him, and you will not continue living in sin." So we know this, that the counterpart to sin is righteousness, so practice righteousness. 1 John 3, 6 through 10, what we've been talking about this whole time. We get this is how statement, this is the way statement. 1 John 3, 10 says, "This is how God's children are distinguished from the devil's children." In verse 6, it says, "Everyone who remains in him does not sin." And so here's the "this is why" statement for you. Recognize your sin. Know what is sin. And then practice righteousness. This is the way. So that's what we do. We remain in him. We recognize our sin. We practice righteousness. And this will be what we call here, what John gives us, walking in the light. So I want to close out with you today. And I'm going to ask that, you know, you bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to bring it down again. Because maybe today, for you, you could honestly say that your life is more characterized by living in sin and darkness than living in the light. You know there's a habitual sin that you struggle with, a sin that you keep practicing, and maybe for a while you've justified it or rationalized it, or you've gone to cultural norms and said, "Well, it's okay now. Maybe it wasn't 20 years ago, but it's okay now, so let's go ahead and do that." If that's you today, maybe John's word, what he wrote, what the Spirit is moving and saying right here today is that maybe for you, you never really knew him. And maybe that's why you're struggling so hard to leave the darkness because you've been trying to do it without the light. The light of Jesus, the light of the world, our hope. And so my prayer for you today is that through the Spirit, that the Spirit would convict you, that the Spirit would come against the sin in your life, help you recognize it, help you turn your back on the darkness so that you can remain in the light, and so that you can have, man, your sin forgiven, that you can be repentant of it, and so that you can begin to walk and live in the light. Maybe that's it for you today. And I want you to know, man, I'm not trying to come at your faith or make you doubt your faith. That's not what this is about at all. But rather, lovingly and kindly and through God's word and through God's Spirit, maybe today what God is trying to do through this word and through his Spirit is he's trying to tell you that there is sin in your life and it's keeping you from living for him. I don't want to come against your faith or make you doubt your faith. I just want to help you make sure and look at the sin that may be there so that you can secure your faith in who you are and live in the light. Guys, we all sin. And the difference with true believers is one word: repentance. It's repentance. It's recognizing that there is sin in our life. It's confessing that sin. And then it's turning our back on it and running towards God and saying, God, I want to live in you. I want to live in the light. I want to live a righteous life. Today, my question is this: are you fighting that sin that keeps showing up in your life? Or are you fighting to rationalize and justify it so that you can keep living in it? My prayer for you today is that it has been revealed, that the Spirit has convicted you, and that you would turn away from it. You know, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so maybe today for you, it's time for you to step out of the dark, to turn your back on sin, to repent of whatever it was you were doing and begin living in him. I want to pray with you guys right now. God, the weight of sin, the murkiness and blurriness of what sin is in our world is hard to navigate. It becomes easy sometimes to justify the sin that we are living in or say it's not really a problem until it becomes a real problem. God, so for each believer in here today and those that are joining us online, no matter what season of their faith they're in, new believer, veteran believer, God, may you allow us and allow the Spirit to examine each of our hearts. God, to convict us of the sin that we've been allowing in our lives. God, and call us into the light. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. God, I pray that you would give them the hope and the courage and the boldness to turn their back on that sin, to walk away from that lifestyle that it may not be doing damage now, but it is hurting them. Or maybe it is doing a lot of damage, but they just can't seem to stop. God, I pray that your Spirit would give us the strength to pull away, and that, God, this wouldn't be a thing done in secret, God, that we would bring it out into the open, so that other believers can rally around us to break away from it. God, I pray for those today who may claim to live for God and to love God, but their sinful, habitual, practiced, sinful lifestyle says otherwise. God, if there is any doubt in their mind, or if the sinful lifestyle they are living is so apparent to them now, God, I pray that they would turn to you, they would seek your forgiveness, and ask you to come into their heart, to let today be the day that they begin to live in the light and never look back. God, living for you and living for the light in a world that is surrounded by darkness is hard, but it's what you called us to take the light that you have given us and to go and be that light out in the world. God, continue to strengthen us as we remain in you. Continue to help us as we remain together and grow together and challenge one another. God, allow us to be your people and to share hope where there is none and light where there is none and encouragement and kindness and love and goodness where there is none, so that more and more people can come into the light and out of the darkness. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.